You know, when you ask the question, why do we encourage generous giving? It's because of the partnership we have with Nest Lake. It's the story, Brianne's story of God transforming her life. And it's the partnerships with Multiply, seeing God transform lives around the world and right here at Westwood and in Prince George. And I want to thank you for your generosity. We really appreciate it. So I want to start today with a question. What direction are my thoughts taking me? And how we answer this simple question, it has a dramatic impact on our entire life. And I don't know if you noticed, the last time I preached up here, right, I had a medical professional come up afterwards, ask if there was a one of those heart defibrillator things, because she thought I was having a heart attack, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I could have, but deep concern, and I totally appreciate the concern. Like, I was like, okay, somebody actually sees something, I'm not just feeling it inside me. But what you need to know is that in 2009, 2010, I was diagnosed with PTSD and just a general anxiety disorder. And I could say it's plagued me ever since, but it's been something that God has used in my life and helped me not just learn to live with, but also to have victory over. And so if I get short of breath, it's because there's this crowd of people in front of me that I haven't had to look at for the past 2 years. Do you know how nice it's been to preach just to a camera? I don't know how many people are watching. It's like, okay, I'm really relaxed. And Rob's like, you really found your element with the online stuff. I'm like, it's because there's nobody in the room. So you need to know that. So this past week, we were brainstorming some ways for me to sort of keep my body, because my body reacted, right? I was up here. My mind was still sort of tracking. I knew like that, you know, there was some sort of anxiety attack happening. But at the same time, you know, I quietly prayed, God, I trust you. This is the message you have for us today. And so, you know, we made it through together. But people noticed. So I wanted to share that with you. And to help us see as we go into this series, Winning the War in Your Mind, that just because you have a mental illness doesn't disqualify you from anything. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to feel bad about. It's a reality of life for some of us. And, you know, I know God's word is powerful. And sometimes when my body starts to react, I feel weak. I feel like, you know, pathetic is maybe more accurate. Because no matter how much I work, no matter how hard I try, I just feel like I don't have what it takes. And the past 2 years of COVID has really, in my own life, and I'm sure in many of your lives, has revealed, I don't know, some things you might call shortcomings or things you never thought you would have to work on in your whole life, and now all of a sudden you're working on these new things that just weren't there before. And so you could phrase it, there's a war going on for our minds. And so often, you know, I battle in my mind between thoughts of faith and thoughts of fear. You know, I want to trust God, but I also want to control. And even with my anxiety disorder, sometimes my pride gets in the way. And, you know, it comes out especially at home with my family. And, you know, Lisa will be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. It's all good. And my pride takes over and says, no, I don't need any help. I don't need a prayer. I don't need an encouraging word. And I let my pride take control. And yet I want to trust God. And maybe you're like this. Maybe, you know, you can walk in one moment and you feel full of spiritual confidence that God is with you, he's here for you, and he's called you. And in the next moment, you have this crippling insecurity and it paralyzes you and it holds you back. And the mind is a battlefield. And most of life's battles are won or lost in our minds. But there's good news, and the good news is that God's word is powerful, not just to help us, but to transform us and to renew our minds in the truth through the Holy Spirit working in us. And this series is based off of a book called Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Rochelle, and he's the pastor at church called Life Church. He's been mentoring me. He doesn't know he's mentoring me, but he's been mentoring me since 2010. And I so appreciate how God has used his life to transform so many people. And so just unashamedly plagiarizing his stuff, okay? Not even going to apologize for it because I believe this is important for us to hear. But most of life's battles are won or lost in our minds. And one of the reasons we have a table and chair up here is so that I can take a little bit of stress off my body, right? And just sit. Because otherwise I'll start to breathe funny. Somebody will notice. They'll come forward afterwards. You can still do that. I don't mind. I totally appreciate, like, I don't want to make fun of that. I appreciated that so much. It was such a huge expression of caring. And I so valued it. And so did my wife. But our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And what we tend to think, it just comes out in our life. And both science and scripture agree. In the area of cognitive behavior psychology, it shows that a lot of problems are actually related to wrong thought processes. Some relational challenges, some eating disorders, some addictions, some forms of anxiety are actually a direct result of toxic thinking. That's sort of what the science says, and scripture would agree with that. In fact, science caught up with scripture, you could say. But what we think determines who we become. And in other words, if I tend to think I can't do something, then I'll probably never be able to do that. If I think I don't have what it takes, if I think I can't, I probably won't. And if I think I can by the grace of God, I probably will. You know, and if we dwell on the problems, the world is bad, it's getting worse, my problems are going to overwhelm me. But instead, if I look for some solutions, if I can believe in faith, I'll find something, and my faith will rise. If I always feel like a victim, I'll likely become a victim. But instead, if I believe that I can overcome by the power of Christ within me, I can overcome. And in so many cases, the life we have is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. So I want to encourage us just to stop and think a little bit about what we think about. And in a little bit, we're going to do something called a thought audit. And in this series, and Ryan's going to be speaking next week, I'll share a little bit more on that in a bit. But in this series, we're going to explore a bit of the relationship between mental health and mental illness, and how God is bigger than both. And my own life is a testimony to that. So I'm not just saying this because, I think it's catchy. I actually believe this because it's something that God has used in my life to bring victory. And I want to encourage us with that. But when we hear the words mental illness and we hear the words mental health, we can get confused with them because it's a wide-ranging topic. And, I think sometimes mental health does impact mental illness, and I think mental illness always impacts mental health, but it doesn't always go that way. And we need to distinguish just a little bit, mental illness from mental health. Maybe we could call it emotional health. And that the whole idea of emotional health is understanding who we are with all of our strengths and limitations and having an accurate view of all of that and living out of it. And it leads to being able to, in our different relationships, we don't lose ourselves to the people around us. We stay who we are, we're differentiated, and we can still love well. That's the idea of mental health or emotional health. It's understanding and expressing all the range of emotions. And not just the two main ones, right? Sometimes we think there's just two emotions, anger and fear. Those are the two emotions. There aren't really any other ones. But there are so many more: sorrow, joy, regret, and the list goes on. And if with the way we relate to others and the way we process things, emotional health is recognizing how the past has shaped me and holding on to those things that were good things into my life and into the relationships around me, and breaking the power of the things from my past that hinder my own emotional health. So all of us have this level of emotional health. We call it emotional maturity. In some areas, you know, we could act like an emotional infant. You know, sometimes when my son, who's 23, I have a 23-year-old son, two sons, and I have a 25-year-old daughter. And sometimes they can still do things, and I'll react to my brother when I was five, right? That's how ingrained some of these emotional experiences are in us. So, you know, my brother was a master of scaring me, right? I'm still afraid to walk down into my parents' basement because I know exactly where he would hide, and it didn't matter. Every time I knew that he was going to scare me. So much so that now that it became this thing. Even if he wasn't there, I was scared, right? And so when my sons would scare me, I'd be like, "Oh, you're the worst person in the world." And I'm reacting to my brother. Right? That's how deep some of this stuff can go. And that's sort of a light issue, but it's not because, you know, physically reaction sometimes isn't that great. But mental illness, on the other hand, it's a medical condition. And in Christianity, we've basically taken three approaches over the years. The first one is probably the biggest one on some levels, is that Satan and demons cause it. And so the cure is to cast out demons out of that person's life so that their mental illness can be cured. So that's one perspective. And it's limited. Sometimes it's true, but not most of the time. Most of the time, a treatable mental illness is exploited by the spiritual realm. And so we have to have discernment when we look at that. But to just say it's demon possession does disservice and harm to the individual. Another one the church has held up over the years is that mental illness is just made up modern psychology. There's no such thing as a mental problem. They act this way because there's sin in their lives. And the cure is repent and get right with God. And sometimes that's true, but not most times. It's a very limited view of mental illness. And if you go back in history, you can see the Puritans actually had a process where they discerned whether it was spiritual, whether it was sin, whether it was just a physical problem. And that's back to the 1500s. They recognized that it was bigger than that. But when we say that it's just modern psychology, we do another disservice. And then finally, the one that I tend to get the most is that it's some type of physiological problem. When you think about your brain, it's an organ like any other part of your body, like the heart, the joints, the liver, the stomach. So if your brain is off because of some imbalance, whether through trauma or chemical, you have to treat it like any other disease, like high blood pressure or diabetes. It needs to be treated. And a lot of people who struggle with mental illness have probably heard that at some point in dealing, with their disease, they've said, you know, people have said to them, "I've heard it for my anxiety, why don't you just buck up? Things aren't that bad. You know, cheer up a little bit. Think of the positive things in life." And if you have some health, you're like, "Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but boy, that really hurts." Other times, you're just like, you're ready to lash out, right? You're just angry. Because they say, you know, life's not that bad. And for someone who struggles with mental illness, they already know that life is not that bad. They can see it around them, but for some reason, they can't get out of it. And a statement like that causes harm. It'd be like saying to someone with a 10-inch, you know, deep gash in their leg, all the way through to the bone, "You know, you just need to think positive. That'll take care. It'll clear right up. No problems. It'll get better." And that's the parallel between someone with mental illness and someone with a physical problem. It's a disease. It's something that needs to be treated. So a mental illness is a medical condition that disrupts a person's thinking, their mood, their ability to relate. And what I've seen in my own experience with myself and with others is that when we stop that daily functioning, the spiritual world, Satan, demons, and the physical world, the relationships we are in, want to exploit that and make it worse. And so we need to be aware of that. But the good news about mental illness, in our day and age anyway, In many cases, it's possible to function well through treatment, whether it's medication. I'm on medication for my anxiety, whether it's, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, whether it's community. There's a way to work through it. It's not a result of poor character. It's not a lack, you know, it's not a personal weakness. Many mental illnesses are treatable for the most part. And most people diagnosed with serious mental illness can experience relief from those symptoms. And so we need to be aware of that. But when it comes to winning the war in our mind, the battle is also similar. So someone with mental illness, like myself, I have to separate my physiological anxiety response from my mental response and recognize that the two don't need to completely be, they're impacted by each other, but they're not attached. And so when I'm anxious and I don't want to do something, I need to hold on to God's truth and go, God, how do you speak into this and how do you want to transform my mind through it? And then do it. And I think if you're struggling with mental illness, please hear this. There is no shame in it. You aren't defective. You're a beautiful creation of God and loved by Him. There's just that extra step we need to take to figure out what is the mental illness side of things and which is, you know, the pursuing Jesus side, the emotional maturity, the mental health side of it. And then cooperating with Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and a community of Jesus followers to discern the differences and live out of that. And so I meet with two guys where we just talk about the strongholds in our life, and we claim hold of the truth of Scripture about who we really are. And we all are dealing with some form of mental illness. And so it's funny and tragic and hope-filled and discouraging, because we're always trying to move towards Christ and encourage each other that way. But when we're not together, you know, your own thoughts tend to take over, and we'll talk about that in a bit. And so we come back together, we laugh, we cry, and we encourage each other to keep pursuing Jesus. But God, we need His help to renew our minds. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to go on that journey, and we're going to look at a lot about the Apostle Paul. We're going to ask God to renew our minds with truth. And just today, we're just laying a foundation for that. And when you look at the life of Paul, who became an apostle of Jesus, we start out with him persecuting the church, killing Christians, arresting them. And he had a meeting on the road with Jesus that completely transformed him, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. And then we watch as Jesus renews his mind over time as we read the letters that Paul wrote. Paul recognized that there was this unseen battle going on for his mind. You know, he says things like this: the things I want to do, I don't do. You can probably relate. He says, the things I don't want to do, I ended up doing. The things I can't want to do, I can't seem to do. And he almost sounds crazy with the thoughts that are going on in his mind. But over time, he captures wrong thoughts and replaces them with the truth. And in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4, this is what he says: for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we may not use the word stronghold in everyday life. It's in the original Greek, it actually is a military stronghold. It's like a fortress that was built in the middle of a city. And this could be surrounded by a wall that was up to 20 feet thick. So it's where military officials, royalty, would go during a battle to keep them safe. And so he's talking about the stronghold of our mind, Paul is. So the devil, our spiritual enemy, wants to attack our mind and create strongholds of deception. The world wants us to create strongholds of deception about what is true, what is human. It wants us to believe lies about who we are. So when we believe something that's untrue, we can take away from God. And the devil tries to shape our thinking, one lie at a time, until we're a prisoner of deception. You know, what does the devil tell us? You can't trust people. You'll never succeed. You're always going to be broke. You're never going to be good in your marriage. God doesn't hear your prayers. God doesn't care about you. You're never going to make a difference. You know, you're never going to amount to anything. So how do we battle those thoughts in our mind? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. My life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts, and God's word is true in Proverbs 23, 7, where it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Life that we have is so often a reflection of the thoughts that we think. So let's stop and think. We're going to just throw up something on the screen called a thought audit. Yeah, that's it. And this is just three areas. There's more than this, but let's just do a thought audit for this time. Working through these three different categories. So am I characterized by worry thoughts, panic, anxiety, fear? Or would I say that my thoughts are typically characterized by being full of peace? You know, do I tend to wake up and have a mind that drifts towards fear? You know, what could go wrong? I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about the economy. I'm worried about how the world seems like it's falling apart. Or do I find myself characterized by, even though things are bad and difficult, complicated, do I find myself casting my cares upon God and recognizing there is a peace that goes beyond all human ability to understand? So where would you say you are today? A second category, do my thoughts drift towards the negative or do they drift towards the positive? Do I wake up and find myself like, you know, negative and critical of people and assuming the worst instead of believing the best about them? Do I look at my day and say, you know, it's going to be hard. Times are tough. I'm always so busy. There's not enough of me to go around. You know, the world's spiraling down the drain. Or do I wake up with positive faith? And again, even if things are difficult, I say, you know what? Christ is with me. He helps me overcome. And things may be difficult in the world, but I'm thankful for a God who is working all things to bring about the good to those who are called according to his purpose. Where would your thoughts go? And then the third category, when it comes to what I think about, are my thoughts more worldly toward the things of this world that, you know, they're just temporary, you know, or do they drift towards what lasts forever? Am I more concerned with what I have, what I wear, what I look like, who liked my post, how many followers I have, or about what everyone thinks about me? Or do they drift toward the eternal, which is God has given me a life to steward and spiritual gifts to use. And what I have is actually to be invested and given away to make a difference in the lives of people around me. So when everything else burns away, my life will count eternally. What characterizes your thoughts? And for a follower of Jesus, when we want to frame all this, what it looks like, the best life we can have is one that is centered on the person of Jesus. Think about it. Jesus came to earth as fully God and fully man. And while he was still fully God, he set aside the privileges of being God for his earthly ministry. He left his throne. He became nothing. He became a servant. Why? To lead people back to his Father. To lead people back to true life. And to do that, he had to become one of us. He experienced all the ordinary, non-sinful limitations of humanity. And in just a brief quote from an article I read in Gospel Coalition. This is what it says. He grew and developed. He experienced hunger, thirst, weariness, and the full range of human emotions. His humanity was integral to his saving work as his divinity. As the true human, he lived out obedience to God through our common humanity as our representative and substitute. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he merits salvation for all who are united to him by faith. As a human, he also serves as our example, providing a model for true human obedience. He was as we are, but without sin to hold him back. So he took our sin on himself to free us from the hold that sin has on each of us. That's the ultimate expression of love. When you want to picture how Jesus thinks about us, in Matthew 9:36, it gives this beautiful description. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Not anger, not hatred, not a sense of giving them justice. He had compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus invites us into a new way to live. So this week, what we're going to do, this is just the step for this week. We're going to identify the biggest stronghold holding us back. You know, remember the stronghold that it's my prisoner locked in a lie, by a lie. What is the biggest mental stronghold that's holding me back? You know, I'm not good enough, or my past is too bad for God to use me, or I can't trust the people around me. We've went through those. My shame is bigger than my God. If you find yourself identifying your negative thoughts, what I want us to do this week is embrace the reality that our negative thoughts, they're changing the chemical makeup in our brain. The reason is because every thought creates a neurochemical change in our bodies. When we think a positive thought, we get a surge of rewarding neurotransmitters called dopamine. It's powerful. You know, someone you like and respect comments on a post you did. You get dopamine, right? Let's be honest. Anybody? Someone likes something you posted? Oh, come on. Thanks for putting up your hand. I didn't want to be the only one. A friend notices something you did and texts you appreciation. Dopamine. A complete stranger comes up and comments on your Star Wars shirt in Costco yesterday. That happened to me. Dopamine. And what's so interesting is the more often we think a thought, science tells us it's easier to think that thought again. Once you think a thought, you're creating neural pathways in your brain. And literally, we have billions of them. And the more often we think that thought, the more the connection is there. And it's easier to think that thought again. And before long, whatever we've been thinking becomes a default thought. A stronghold. It can be good and bad. If you believe a lie for long enough, you start to be impacted as if that lie were true. You get stuck in a rut. You know, I've created a pathway. I used to live just down here on Vanier, and I walked from my house straight to the church across the school field. There was a few other people that did it with me. We wore out a path there. Like, you do it enough times, and then this pathway forms. Same with our thinking. The more I think the negative thoughts, the lies that aren't true about me, I create this neural pathway in my brain. And with God's help, what we want to do is renew our minds. We want to get off that old path. Because once you do, the grass grows back. And there's more resistance. And then all of a sudden, it's not as easy to walk down that negative path. And we start to forge new pathways in our brains toward the truth. And what does Jesus say about the truth? The truth sets us free. So just one stronghold this week, okay? Not all of them. Some of you are all or nothing people like me. I'm like, I'm going to make a list and they're all going to be gone, right? Don't do that. That's terrible. What we're going to do is we're going to start with one. You might battle your identity. You might feel like you're just not lovable. Think about what your one is. Or maybe you're not good enough, or you don't deserve anything good. Or, you know, I'll always be broke. You know, there's the haves and the have-nots. I'm a have-not. You feel helpless, worthless, shame-filled. So just identify that one stronghold and name it, because we can't defeat what we don't know is there. We need to identify those biggest strongholds. And two people in my, actually three now, my son, my daughter, and my wife, all struggled at various times with mental illness, some way more severe than me, and they've all rewired their brains through the help of the Holy Spirit in them and through community, and they have walked in freedom for, well, Lisa for years now, Sydney for a few years, and Connor for years, and it's just, they're an inspiration to me about the power of God in our lives and how the truth sets us free. So we want to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. And they gave me permission to share this. They know, okay, I'm not like, oh, I'm not the only one. That's the second part of our assignment. Demolish the stronghold. Find the truth. And Ryan is going to be focusing much more on that next week, so you have to come back, okay? But what's the driving lie that's holding me back, and what's the truth that will set me free? Maybe you think, you know, I can't get it all done. I never can get it all done. Your truth could be, I can do all things through my Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength when I'm weak. He makes me strong. Maybe you feel like I'm never going to be attractive enough. I don't like the way I look. Well, no. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the grace of God. He's given you gifts to make a difference. Maybe you feel like you're just going to always be miserable. I'm always going to be depressed. Maybe the truth you need to start replacing it with is the joy of the Lord is my strength. The moment the lie tells you that you're always going to be alone. No, God is with me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. You know, I'm nothing but a victim. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony. You are not who others say you are. You're not even who the lies in your own head say you are. You're who God says you are. So we're going to capture those lies and name it, and we're going to replace it with truth. And by the power of God, we won't stay locked in a prison. Because when Jesus holds the keys that sets you free, he says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I want to pray this prayer over us as the band comes up. It's from Romans 12, verse 1, and Ryan will touch on that next week. But it's just a prayer that I found it as I was researching this, and I want to pray it over us to this morning. So, dear Father, I present my body to you. O Lord, as a living sacrifice, may it be holy and pleasing to you. Let this be my spiritual act of worship, not done at set times of remembrance, but constantly, moment by moment, day by day, night by night. Let me not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, which is doomed to pass away. Instead, let me be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I may be able to test what your holy will for me is, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. By the authority of Jesus in his name, I ask for this growth in grace. Amen.
Amen. I just invite you to stay seated, and just reflect on the words on the screen as we sing this song.
To none but heaven's will, no scheme.
amen. Thank you guys so much for coming today. I just do invite you to come back throughout this series. I believe it will impact us in a very deep way. So thank you. Go and have a great week.